Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This show is brought to you by our show sponsor, BetterHelp Online Therapy. Going to therapy is something that's really tough for people to fathom, but once you're there, you'll be so happy you went. There is a significant difference between constantly ruminating on thoughts all on your own, driving yourself mad, and speaking about them with a skilled professional. BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and 21 and over listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/holly. That's BETTERHELP.com/holly. Hello and welcome back to 21 and over. I'm so excited to have Tally back with me today. The topic we'll be talking about is change. Change affects everyone. It's something that happens daily, and we will discuss how it can affect us or impact our mental health. But before we get started, it's time for a check-in. So Tally, how are you feeling this week?
Hey, it's good to be back. I think the high of my week, and I think I've probably said it last week as well, was the football. I never thought I'd say that. Just getting involved and feeling patriotic. Mm-hmm. And going out for some nice food, that was definitely another high. I think the low for me this week has been just the sort of underlying overwhelm of feeling. Mm-hmm. This sort of the feeling that the smallest thing is going to push me over the edge, and mm-hmm. the smallest thing is going to make me burst into tears for no reason whatsoever, other than the fact I just feel a bit overwhelmed. So I think that's for me trying to keep a handle on that. But anyway, what about you, Holly? What has been your high and low of the week, or highs and lows?
I will start with my high. I would say that I'm happy that the Love Island cast has finally been announced so that everyone can stop asking me if I'm going on. And then I also had a really great day with my mum the other day. We went, her friend Ruth, who's also like my second mum, organised like a mother's and daughter's lunch and shopping. So that was so nice. And it's been a long time since I've been shopping with mum. We like jealous. To do that together a lot. Definitely not the same online. And then my low, I would say my mood has generally dropped a little bit. Kind of the motivation has gone down. Mm. The feeling of being like a bit more lonely and numb. Mm. I'm feeling very emotional for no reason. Mm. And kind of when I talk about it, I then get upset. Yeah. And I don't really like crying in front of people because I get uncomfortable. Like even now, I'm kind of smiling because when I feel uncomfortable, I either smile or I laugh. So it's very confusing.
Yeah. That's normal, though. That's a protective mechanism. I guess I'm the same, except I normally cry with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
But I think actually, I don't think you're alone in that. I don't know what's been going on. There's something in the water. Everyone is feeling a little bit more fragile, a bit more raw. I don't know whether it's been the weather. I don't know what's going on. But everyone that I've spoken to has just felt slightly on edge. And I think this collective, it's good that we're talking about change, this collective feeling of change has, been quite a significant impact on all of us, perhaps without us really knowing. And it's now as it's sort of we settle into it, it's sort of hitting us in different ways.
Yeah, even when I went for the lunch and shopping thing the other day, I haven't seen my mum's friend Ruth or some other people in quite a long time. And I felt so weird, like trying to make conversation with people who I know very well since I was very young. It felt very foreign and I was kind of annoyed that it wasn't as easy as it normally is, or that it felt uncomfortable.
Yeah. Also remember, you know, we were so used to, as we've said before, we're so used to not doing anything and there being an okayness about that, right? And I think now that everything is sort of pretty much opened up again and there is this sort of slight pressure to go and do, when that happens, we forget to just be and we forget to just sit and we forget to just feel. And we've had this whole year of doing just that. And now, obviously, we're running around. Well, I personally am, you know, running around like a headless chicken from one thing to the next. And it's like, whoa, you know, the times that I'm actually sitting and doing nothing, I think, well, I should be going and doing something, you know, and this guilt of like, why am I not making the most of it? So, you know, it's adjusting, I think.
Yeah, especially the going back to when you're sitting and feeling you should be doing something. I just never know what to do with that feeling because I get really anxious and then sometimes I'll feel really nauseous. And I'm very good at being alone, but feeling like I should be doing something or should be seeing people that I haven't seen or should be working on something else, or even sometimes like the feeling like I should be posting on social media. It's exhausting.
It is. And again, this is as a result of yet another change, right? If we think how when lockdown happened the first time, there was a change, and then it happened the second time, there was a change, and the third time, there was a change. And every single time we've had to readapt and change how we look after ourselves, change how we think, change how we feel, change how we ask for help, you know, all these different things, because we're either surrounded by people or we're not. And there are so many different factors that I think are contributing to the change in how we feel. You know, you were saying my mood has changed, right? Your mood feels a bit, you feel a bit low.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes with depression, you go through highs and lows. And I've been on a pretty like stable high for a while now, and I haven't felt low in a bit. I don't know, I feel like I'm having a low bit. Which again is another change, because adjusting to how I speak to myself or kind of how I set my routine for the week when I feel low, it definitely, there will be a change because I need to take things a bit slower and not do as much and kind of just have a bit more downtime. So
I think it's also important to note from what you just said that actually a lot of the time we don't necessarily need to know the reasons behind the change. Like I think, you know, I know I just listed a whole reasons of, as to why you might be feeling like this, as to why, you know, there might be a change in your mood. But I think there doesn't necessarily need to be a reason. And, as you know, depression, there's highs and there's lows and we can't determine when that change happens. We can't, you know, control that. It just happens. And actually allowing the change to just be without judgment is a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's very important what you said about that. It doesn't have to be a reason, because I think with parents, especially mine, they, like I said when we spoke with Sophia, whenever my dad sees a problem, he loves to fix it straight away. So when I tell them I'm feeling a bit low, he kind of says, is there anything that started that or has made you feel this way? But when there's not, sometimes you can be guessing, and it's something that I've told them and kind of something that I still am learning and they're learning, is that there doesn't always have to be a reason. Sometimes you do just feel low.
Absolutely.
Following on from that, Tali, could you please tell me and our listeners a little bit more about our topic, change?
Well, change is inevitable. Things change all the time around us and there's very little that we can do to prevent change. Which is actually what makes us afraid of change. We all, you know, like routine. It makes us feel safe. There is security in the familiar. We get comfortable when we have a handle on things. So when something changes, it gives opportunity for our insecurities to set in, as suddenly our surroundings have unfamiliar variables, which creates fear. And obviously, you know, fear can lead to all sorts of different fears, you know, fear of failure, etc. We all see change as most of the time is a bad thing, you know, or we fear it, perhaps even unconsciously. But there is obviously lots of positives to change. You know, finding comfort in the fact that things are impermanent. So things are always changing us around us all the time. So, you know, think about when you've been in a really bad spell. You know, you were talking about, you know, how you're in a bit of a low mood, how you're, you know, feeling low at the moment. And the nice thing about change is that that will also change, you know, just as you change from being in a good space, you know, being on a high to then being in a low, you will then again, you know, change from being a low to being in a high. The fear is, or the sort of discomfort around that is that we like to be able to control when that is, right? We like to be able to control when the change is. And we simply can't, you know. And I like to think of the metaphor of the weather, right? I mean, the weather changes all the time and there is nothing we can do about that at all, okay? But if you think about how much energy we can spend hoping that the weather's going to change or be different, it's a complete waste. It's a complete waste of our energy. And actually, the hardest thing to do is to find acceptance, right? To find acceptance with the change, whatever that may look like. It saves us a hell of a lot of energy. It doesn't tap into our insecurities, but basically that's one of the hardest things to do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I hate accepting things.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, it's all unknown. That's what we don't like. We don't like the unknown. We don't like things that we don't have control over. Or especially, you know, a lot of the time, I when I'm working with clients, it's actually change around belief systems. So we all have belief systems that we have about ourselves, you know, beliefs or stories that we have about ourselves, whether that is, you know, I'm not good enough or I'm unlovable. And the idea that we might be able to change that narrative and change, you know, what we think about ourselves is very frightening for a lot of people, because imagine you've been thinking a certain way about yourself for a very long time.
Yeah.
The idea then that that will change, the idea then that we'll then, you know, we've spent the last however many years believing something that's not true, is frightening. So actually a lot of the time we like to stay in the discomfort of the familiar, even though it's not good for us. You know, I always say it's like this old comfy armchair that's really smelly and like that's like got loads of like rips on it and, you know, it's holes and whatever. But it's comfortable and it's stayed the same. There's been no change.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, with change comes growth, etc. I'm wondering how, you know, what you can, out of all of that, what you can relate to, what you've, you know, think about change and how it's affecting you.
I like how you said, you know, whenever you're feeling in a low mood or how I'm feeling at the moment, to remember that the change will happen again. Because I think sometimes it's very easy when I do go into a low period to kind of think, oh, like, for fuck's sake, this is so unfair. Why does this always happen? And I think it makes me appreciate the good, the better feeling that I normally have in feeling better and like I'm able to do things. But I think something about feeling comfortable in the discomfort, it's quite strange because I know a lot of people will be like, well, why is that comforting to feel like sad or lonely? There's something comforting about that.
Well, because it's familiar, right?
Yeah.
It's familiar. And sometimes what can actually happen is we can create these scenarios for ourselves where we do feel like that, because, you know, it's like the anxiety, you know, when we've spoken about anxiety before, when we get used to feeling a certain thing, we then will create stories and anxieties in our head so that we can go, oh, okay, phew, even though this isn't very pleasant, I know it. You know, I know it and I'm safe with it and I know what happens and I can go inside myself and hibernate. That might change, or the idea that we might stand differently and go into our power and react differently to things. It's terrifying because we don't know how we'll feel.
Yeah.
We like to control how we feel.
Yeah. I, as I've said before, like, I love a plan. I love knowing what's going to happen next. I like being able to prepare myself what's going to happen next. And I think that's the thing about change, is that you don't have any control because it happens every day, in some small ways and in bigger ways. And I know I definitely struggle when there's been a change and I feel like I've lost something. And it's not a nice feeling because I feel like I'm missing out. And again, it feels unfair. Kind of, why does this always happen to me? And then that kind of cycle starts. I can certainly be quite destructive to myself when I notice something isn't going like I thought it would.
Well, actually, with change does come loss. And actually, it's a lot of it is how we then react or, how we react to the loss. I mean, if you think about it, when you go from being in a high mood to a low mood, you've lost being in the high mood.
Yeah.
Right. There's this loss, and actually, there is a cycle of grief that takes place. There is this, there are five stages of grief. There's shock and denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. Now, that might sound like a lot just for one change, But it's really not. These things are the different feelings that we might experience. If you just think about, what you've been through recently and the change in your mood, what would you say you've lost? What would you say you need to grieve, actually?
I think that motivation to get up and go, kind of not like I was getting out the house and doing a million things a day, but I was open to doing that. And I was motivated to kind of do different things. Whereas now it's so much easier just to sit on the sofa or kind of go back to bed after Truffle goes to like play school or like doggy daycare. But I always try and kind of prevent falling like into like a low period. I feel like sometimes you can know it's coming in like little bits. You get a few waves of sadness sometimes before like a big wave hits. And when I did, I spoke to my parents and my doctor and I said, look, I feel like it's coming. So we discussed kind of adding more structure to my day. And I'm doing that and I'm getting other things done. But everything is 10 times more exhausting.
Oh, yeah, it's so much harder,
kind of like getting dressed to do, like today I was getting dressed to come here and what I wanted to wear, I didn't like how I looked. So then I was like, fuck it. Like I'm wearing a hoodie and a pair of shorts and I feel underdressed right now, but I know like that's what I had in the moment. So I just put that on. I can recognize some of those stages, the anger one.
Yeah.
And being quite destructive.
Yeah.
I think I can be quite destructive in terms of pushing people away when I feel like I'm in a low period.
And I wonder what it would be like to be accepting of these feelings as opposed to judging them.
Depends. Sometimes I can accept it and kind of, okay, I'm like this. It's going to be like this for a little bit. Don't know how long. This is what we're going to do. And I was like that when I kind of made this plan to start having a bit more structure and a few more things in my day. And then kind of one minor inconvenience happens. Like I was meant to see my psychiatrist. Turns out like there was a miscommunication and I missed my appointment. So now I don't have my routine for tomorrow. So now I'm kind of like, okay, I'd planned to do it. And when I got the call saying, well, you've missed your appointment, I then started crying and I was like, oh my God, like I've done this really, really bad thing. But I kind of rationalized it only kind of as I'm talking about it now.
Yeah, well, good.
And it's, things happen, appointments get missed. It's, it's annoying, but it's not the end of the world.
Absolutely. And also, Hols, it makes me think of what we make the change mean. Right? Like we can give it so much meaning, like we can give it so much gravitas. Whereas actually, if you think about how many times things have changed in our lives, like small, tiny things and how we've got through those things.
Yeah.
Right. And when we're in that place of like anger or we're in that place of fear, actually for me anyway, when I'm in that place of fear, it feels like the change is going to be unmanageable. And then that's when it can be quite dangerous because we can be self-destructive or we can, well, if in my case, stamp my foot, throw a hissy fit, whatever it is, cry, which is, all allowed. But then, the ability to then be able to come back to ourselves and be able to soothe ourselves and be able to say, we've been through many changes before and we've been okay.
Mm.
From what you're saying, that's what I'm hearing that you're now doing. You're actually
trying,
you're soothing. You're trying to, you are, you're self-soothing. You're putting things in place, which previously you didn't have. Like if you think previously to how you would react to this change, well,
yeah, it would be a lot more destructive.
Yeah. You know, you were in the Nightingale, however long ago, you know, think of the many changes that you've been through and how you've got out the other side.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Whether it's stress from exams, having to clean out your wardrobe, or even going back into the world again after quarantine, BetterHelp is here for you to talk about however you're feeling or whatever you're struggling with at the moment. You can start communicating in under 48 hours with professional counselors securely online. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/holly. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. We have a special offer for 21 and over listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/holly. That's 10% off your first month at better, H-E-L-P.com/holly. Going into Nightingale, that was a huge change and a big kind of shock to the system, I'd say. Even small things like I wasn't in my own bed, I was in a different part of London to where I've ever lived before. So that was a big change with loads of other changes on top.
Also, like, not just an immediate change, but like a long-term change.
Yeah.
So there was obviously the immediate change of you having to go into somewhere and live somewhere else, and your old, you know, life of what you knew it had just been put to one side. But there was also like a long-term change, right? You had to then change.
And not knowing it would be long-term.
Yeah. Yeah. But think about that. Like, you know, you had no idea. You just had to trust and just go for it. You didn't have a choice.
Yeah. It was strange not having, again, like a plan or like a, I mean, obviously we had a care plan. But the day I was meant to leave, you know, got pushed back a couple of times for different reasons. So those kind of changes and realizing that, okay, I'm not going to go home tonight. Maybe we'll try like a home visit, you know, or like a sleepover for one night and then come back on after the weekend.
What other changes can you think of in your mental health, for example, you know, which obviously resulted in you ending up in the Nightingale? But, you know, if you think about the change to your mental health and that journey of, well, that process basically of change?
I'd say some friendships have changed a lot. My friendships with my siblings are so much stronger. But friends-wise, I have lost a lot of friends and I now realise they weren't my friends. I think when I first went into Nightingale, only a very, very small number of people knew. And some were supportive and some kind of used it against me in different ways. But it was difficult because I hadn't really spoken about my mental health to any of my friends. So no one really saw this coming or me going in. And some friendships, it took me a lot longer to realise that they weren't healthy. And it wasn't until actually about a year ago when the whole world went into lockdown, I kind of realised this isn't that healthy of a friendship.
And can you pinpoint the time when you started to experience the change in your mental health?
When I was younger, I think those kind of feelings of being sad, but the prolonged sadness.
Yeah.
And not just the kind of, oh, like I'm a bit sad about whatever, like feeling quite numb and just lonely, even though I was surrounded by my huge family and friends at school. and kind of noticing, is there something different? Is that like, am I different than everyone else? Is everyone else feeling this? So I was probably like in my like 14, 15. And then obviously I hid it until nearly 2 years ago. When I first reached out to my family. And then again, I guess recently another change since launching 21 and Over, not many people knew about my mental health. Yeah.
Well, again, that's another huge change, right?
Yeah.
It's just happened.
Yeah. It was definitely very scary.
How have you been dealing with it? How have you been dealing with what have the feelings been?
It's been, I would say some people have been very respectful, which I really appreciate. I try to not look at any negativity. Mm. I mean, when the podcast came out, I did kind of turn off my phone and not look at anything and just kind of let the world do their thing. And I just did my own thing. But I've had quite a lot of time, just me and my parents. So it's been great with them.
I think that's another really good example of the unknown. Like you kind of knew there was a change coming because you were going to launch the podcast. But you didn't know what that change was going to look like.
Yeah. And even like when the rumor of Love Island started, like that was a change. Suddenly I had people giving me their opinions on whether I should go in or not, or kind of what my dad will think of me if I go in. By then I already knew that I was obviously going to release the podcast. So I kind of knew, okay, if this is what I'm getting over a rumor, what's it going to be like when this comes out? And kind of I lay a lot on the line here.
I think it's really important though that we all, but especially you in this moment, give yourself some credit on the ability to adapt to the change. Like if you think how, and all of us actually, you know, if we look at this year and the pandemic and everything that the ability to adapt to change, you know, the feelings always pass. I think that's so important to remember, like the fear, it always at some point does pass. We just don't have control over when. But I think U-Haul's, you know, there's been so many recent changes that have been big changes that you've really adapted to. And actually, I'm even thinking about, you know, perhaps, or maybe not, a smaller change of you getting Truffle.
Yes.
Right? That was suddenly a change, right? Maybe it wasn't a small change. I don't know. I don't have a dog, so I can't judge that.
I would say it definitely, I thought it was going to be small. I mean, you know, when in the past I wanted to get a pet, I had a cat, but he lived at the family home with me. So it was kind of like, you know, mum would kind of do a lot of the regular chores, which I'm so grateful for. But I went to dad and I said, like, hey kid, what are your thoughts on me getting a dog? And he was like, okay, well, let's keep it between us for now. And then we'll, like, let's research, let's have a look. And then we will bring it to mum. And so I kind of found a dog and I like told dad, and dad was like, okay, sweet, do it. And then I got a dog and mum found out the night before I went to collect it. And she was very, like, she was so happy for me, but she was like, I'm not going to be the one picking up the dog shit. That's going to be your job. She said, this isn't my job. You have to take this responsibility. And dad and I kind of went like back to our corners, had a huge chat about kind of, we're going to tell mum how
what's this change going to mean, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got Truffle and I was actually staying with mum and dad at the time in Cornwall. So he kind of was in the family house.
Yeah, that's quite useful.
But during the night, because mum had, well, obviously we had Oscar with us. And when you first get a puppy during the night, they cry. And I was like, well, mum was like, well, now he's going to wake the baby. So I had to sit with Truffle like throughout the night whenever he cried. And I was like, I'm exhausted. I want to go to sleep. Like, that's not normally what I do. Which sounds awful because my cat was pretty kind of...
Yeah, he was self-sufficient. Took,
yeah, he was great. So like the small adjustments of getting Truffle and having someone else to be responsible for. I mean, unlike my siblings, I've never had a boyfriend or like Jack a girlfriend. So I've never kind of had to take care of someone else or kind of had someone else rely on me. And I'm very good at just doing me. So having Truffle and then like different times when he ate something and then I had to take him to the vet like 1 a.m. or kind of.
Yeah, my God.
So it's very small things. And like, I always catch myself and I'm like, okay, this is what it's like. A dog is like a child. And I'm super thankful. Mum has been very, very helpful on multiple occasions. But it's always funny because things with like getting a pet, dad is always like, yeah, do it. And mum's like, well, Gordon.
You need to think about this.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, Gordon, you're not going to be the one, you know, cleaning it up or giving it a bath.
But I guess, you know, this is all these little things that you actually just took in your stride, you know, okay, maybe they're not actually little, they're quite big things that, you know, that you've taken in your stride. And I think, I hope we can all kind of look back and, you know, whether it's the last year, whether it's the last 10 years and see, okay, how many times has something changed? And how many times have I been so fearful of that change?
Mm.
And it's always been okay, right?
Yeah.
I always say, you know, everything that's ever happened in our lives, like every single, this kind of blows my mind a little bit, and maybe I'm getting a little bit too woo-woo, but like everything that's ever happened in our lives has had to happen in order for us to be sitting right here, right now, which basically means every single change we've ever been through has had to occur in order for us to be sat here right now and having this conversation.
Mm.
And when I think of it like that, it's quite freeing because it means that, you know, we can really kind of combat any change and the sort of, not the win-win situation, well, maybe it is to be able to find acceptance with whatever change it is. We don't like it when things don't go our way. Sorry, I don't like it when things don't go my way. And that's because it's a change that I can't control. You know, if it's a change I can't control. But if I look back and I see, oh my God, you know, I've been through lots of changes in my life. Physical changes, change of country, change of, you know, house, change of job, change of career, you know, all these different things. It's always been exactly what it needed to be at that time, basically.
Yeah, it's, I always need to remind myself that like it's, things that have happened that I've been really scared of have been okay. Touch wood.
Yeah.
And that's always something, because obviously the fear of the unknown is huge. And for me, a huge thing is being in control of situations. I don't like when I'm not in control or when someone else has the control. So when change happens and I'm not in control, it's terrifying.
But that's when it becomes destructive, right?
Like
when we try and grasp at the control that we don't and will not have because we can't control the change, basically.
Yeah.
And that's when we just have to become aware of, you know, our behaviors, you know, and our feelings. And that's actually, I think I'd say the most important thing is to become aware of the feelings and then how we actually manage the feelings, like allowing ourselves to feel them, but not acting on them. I mean, it's the hardest thing to do because when we're in that moment and the feelings are real, we feel like we need to act on that impulse. But the best thing to do is to give it time, space, feel the feeling, allow it to pass through you and then make a decision and then make, you know, do the behavior or whatever it is. But I'm thinking, you know, what would you say, how would you say you have been able to, you know, what would be some good advice on managing change?
Managing change, for example, when I got truffle, I really did lean on my mum, and it's for very small things, kind of like asking for reassurance that it's okay to give him small dog instead of puppy food when he was a puppy because I'd run out of food and that was all the store had. Just like small bits of advice that I would have gone home, given him the food, and if I had not known the answer, I would have been like, oh my God, Googling it, trying to find out things. So I think relying on someone else and just asking.
I think that's really important, asking for help and actually when we're going through a transition or a change, you know, being able to ask for help and being able to ask for reassurance. Like a lot of people, you know, there is of course, you know, the only person that can reassure you is yourself. And I do agree with that, you know, on a big level, but it's also okay. You know, we're human. We do seek reassurance from other people. And I think when we're feeling fragile, when we're feeling vulnerable and we're going through a transition period or a big change, doing that sort of scary thing of asking for help or asking for the reassurance is a really good thing, basically, a really good idea and a really, you know, brave thing to do.
Yeah, totally. And it's even for such small things, it can really stop that spiral of overthinking and the worry and the panic of something that is quite small, but you're making huge in your head.
Mm, absolutely. And I guess other things that, you know, it's, you know, on that note, really important to hone in on the fact that when you are going through that change or when you're, you know, going through a transition, that you really look after yourself, which means going back to basics, yeah. Right? So, you know, eating well, getting outside, sleeping well, socializing, you know, with friends and families or people that make you feel safe, and being kind to yourself, I think, not judging yourself, not judging your thoughts, not judging your feelings, and allowing yourself, if you need to stay in bed for the day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you need to be a little bit selfish and cancel those plans because you don't have that kind of, you physically feel like you don't have the energy to go and see someone, I think allowing yourself to be a bit selfish.
Absolutely.
And, you know, now that I have good friends, they would definitely understand when I need to cancel plans. But if someone makes you feel guilty about having to actually take that time for yourself, even if you're literally just chilling and doing nothing in bed, then you need to be allowed to have that time.
Yeah, 100%. And that goes again for going back into the world again, you know, after quarantining, you know, for so long. People are going to take their time. People are going to do it the way they need to do it. And that's okay, you know. Everyone has a different time frame that they do things at. And taking your time with things, you know, like going back into the big wide world, you know, during a global pandemic is frightening, is a change. So being kind to yourself and doing all the, you know, going back to basics, essentially, is important.
Yeah, I think one thing like I would want to highlight as well is that I did try kind of maybe socializing a bit too soon, and I got very angry at myself for afterwards because I couldn't keep up with the pace of seeing people or like seeing friends I hadn't seen in the last year. And I got annoyed that I couldn't just find it normal and easy. Mm. And it goes again with being kind to yourself, but it's one of those things when you try something and if it doesn't go your way, you can go. I can personally go one of two ways. I can accept it and move on, or I can be very annoyed that I'm not normal.
Mm. That sets off a whole spiral of shame and judgment and and then it just makes things everything so much worse.
Yeah, it's awful.
And exactly. So, but practicing acceptance is really hard, really hard. Like I find it really difficult. You know, even though I, you know, preach it, you know, it's really hard. It's really difficult. Mm. So yeah, I think, you know, making sure that we're gentle with ourselves, especially in this period of time, and accepting, you know, trying to accept the change and, you know, more importantly, the feelings that come with the change.
Yeah. Well, Talia, I think that was again, another great conversation because obviously I'm going through a change right now and obviously so is the world coming back into the world. And just to our listeners, if you do have any changes that you are going through, always feel free to send us a DM at 21 and over with Holly. And now it's time for Behind the Post. This is where we go back through my social media. Well, in today's case, we're going through Truffle's social media and looking back at a post and discussing what I was going through and what I was feeling.
So we have here a picture of you and Truffle in a Zoom call. And what was going on for you here, Holz?
So this was actually the day that we met, you and I met over Zoom.
Oh my gosh, that was our first meeting on Zoom.
Yeah, it feels crazy that we were on computers back then.
It was in March, my God.
Yeah, and I was so nervous because this was my first time, apart from talking to the team in America and kind of pitching the show to them, pitching it to someone else who I wanted to be my co-host. So I was so nervous and... for people who don't have French bulldogs or any kind of bulldogs, they're very loud. They snore when they're awake. And I was already nervous enough for the Zoom. And then all I could hear in the background was Truffle snoring.
Oh, so, God, I didn't
because
hear
he's very. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure before any Zoom now, any Zoom that I do now, I always say, just by the way, I have a dog who's snoring, like it's not me. But yeah, that was just after I'd moved into my apartment and kind of getting used to living with a dog. And as I said before, when he likes to wake up super early.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was a very good day for me because I got to meet you and Truffle. Oh, actually, no, I didn't meet Truffle.
You didn't.
I didn't get to meet Truffle.
I would bring him here when we're recording, but I'm not even kidding. Noise. Everyone would be up to hear.
Maybe that's what they want, to hear Truffle snoring in the background.
Well, Tali, I promise one day you can meet Truffle.
I can't wait.
And thank you so much to our listeners for listening. And if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to, wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can follow us on Instagram at 21andover with Holly or email us at 21andover@studioramsey.com. Thank you so much again for listening and we'll see you next time.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.